I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314, and we are in a series right now. We're actually finishing it today in a series called Better. When life hands you choices, choose better. And we've been talking about specific verses in the Bible that have the word better in there. And you can see, just like that video, man, it's watching a train wreck. And that's what we've been watching for a while. And man, we have choices in our life, and sometimes we don't choose the right thing. And so what we've been doing is looking at verses in the Bible that teach us how to live better. Now, before we get into the message, real quick, I want to tell you that next week we are starting a brand new series called Margin. And what we're going to be talking about in Margin is a very practical way for us to be able to live in the world of margin so that we're not completely stressed out when something happens, but that there's margin in our life so that things are going to be a little bit simpler for us. It's going to be another very practical series, and so I want to encourage you to be able to come back for that series that we've got starting just next week. But like I said, we've been in this series called Better, and what we've been doing in this series is, again, looking at scripture verses that have the word better in there. And then we've been taking those verses and trying to put them to memory, because we believe this, that the Bible is the living, breathing word of God, and it has the power to change our lives, if we know it, right? It doesn't just sit there on the coffee table and then just miraculously change our lives. We actually need to read it. And so we believe that, and we've been trying to put these verses to memory. And so the verse that we're going to be talking about this morning is Proverbs 22:1. And why don't you go ahead and put it up there? Proverbs 22:1 says this: "A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." Now, you know, it's so easy for us to just read something, glance over it, and then go on our merry way, right? Or have you ever been reading like a book or something like that, and then all of a sudden you realize, what did I just read on that page? You know, like your mind just goes someplace else, and you've got to go back and read it. That was me most of the time through college. What in the world did I just read? Because I don't see this anywhere on the test at all, you know? And so what we want to do is we want to really look at this verse. What does it mean? And then put it to memory. And so the writer of Proverbs is saying this, that a good name is more desirable than great riches. What does that mean? It means that how we are known in this world is more valuable than the greatest thing that we could think of. It's more valuable. Having a good name is more valuable than having a great house. Having a good name is more valuable than wearing great clothes. It's more valuable than having a nice car, unless maybe it's a Tesla, you know? But what it's saying is that we need to be able to look at our name and how that's communicating to the world. But so often we put our priorities completely opposite of that, right? What we focus on so often in this world is what kind of house I'm living in, because we want to have a good life. That's what we are striving for, is after the good life, right? But the reality is this, is that Jesus doesn't want us just to have a good life. He wants us to have a better life. In fact, he says this in John 10:10. He says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come to bring you life and bring it to you in abundance, a better life. That's what he has for us. That's what we want to be able to do. So with that in mind, let's look at Proverbs 22:1 again and really understand what Jesus is trying to speak to us, what God is wanting to speak to us. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. So here's what we want to do. Again, we want to put this to memory. So why don't you go ahead and say this with me? A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Man, you guys did pretty good over there. At least this side did. This side was not so much, so I'll come over here. Let's do it again, all right? A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Now, you guys did really good on that one. So now what we want to do is we want you to be able to read that later on. And we even said this, man, we want you to, it's our desire that we want the Word of God to transform you. And so we even took the time to grab the book of Proverbs, and we wanted to put it into your hands, and we were going to give a copy to everybody. And we ordered them, and they have not yet come in. I mean, I take that back. I have 31 copies. There's a little bit more than 31 people in here. And the rest went on back order. And so then I went scouring the internet to be able to find some place where I could get them shipped in. And I found the extra copies that we needed. And we had them overnighted to come to us. And then there was a storm in Boston. And so they are stuck in Louisville right now. And so I apologize about that. But you come back next week, and man, we will have a book of Proverbs for you. And you can read this to your heart's content, all right? Maybe. I don't know where the next storm is going to come. I am not going to promise anything when it has to do with the UPS, all right? That's the last time that I do that. But man, we're going to go forward in this anyway. Man, we believe that God's word can change our lives. And if we put this to memory, that it will begin to speak to us. Because names are very powerful, aren't they? Names really are powerful. And what they connotate to people and how people know us. And that's the reality, is that a good name is really how people know you. So my question for you this morning is this: how are you known? When somebody says your name, what do they think of? We begin to feel the tension of that, right? Begins to feel the gravity in there. Man, what do people think of me? I don't know. I don't really want to think about that at this moment. Let me clarify something really quick with you. A good name does not mean a perfect name. Because too often we believe that we have to be perfect and we strive after perfection, and it brings this tension and it brings all this weight down upon us. Because the reality is this, is that we are not perfect, right? And so here's what gets us to the big takeaway. If there's anything that you take away from this morning, I want you to understand this one thing, and it's our big takeaway right here. A good name doesn't mean that you are perfect. It means that you are being perfected by the one that is, and that's Jesus. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to live in the perfect home. You don't have to drive the perfect car or wear the perfect clothes to have a good name. You just need to know Jesus and be perfected by him. A name means a lot, doesn't it? There's so much connotation that happens in a name. And those of you that are parents, man, you know the pressure in naming your children, don't you? You feel that, right? You feel the pressure in naming your children. And especially like now in these days, a lot of times you're trying to come up with something that's unique and has a cool meaning to it, because you can't name anybody Bob anymore. I'm sorry all those Bobs out there, but it's like, why are you naming your kid Bob? You know, can't come up with something better than that? Well, that's how it feels. And then my wife is down there in the Move Kids Zone, and she's rocking it down there. Your kids are having a great time this morning. And she was a fourth grade teacher before. And so for us, naming our children, I would be like, hey, how about this cool name? And she's like, oh, that's the worst kid in my class. Can't name our kid that. Like, well, he hasn't even done anything yet, you know? But there's so much meaning in a name, isn't there? And maybe you ladies in here that you even had the name of your children before you even got married, right? Or maybe some single ladies out there already. You already know. You're like, this is what I want to name my kids. Or maybe some single guys out there, you've already thought what you want to name your kids. You cannot name them Wolverine, all right? Batman, maybe. I'm Batman. That would be really cool. You know, have that on your business card. That'd be pretty sweet. But there's so much meaning that is attached to a name. A good name is important. The scripture tells us that a good name is important. And so this morning, we want to figure that out. We want to try to understand why a good name is so important for us. And the first one is this, is that we can see that a good name can instill confidence. And so what we want to do this morning is we want to talk about specific names that do each one of these things. And so a good name can instill confidence. And the good name that I thought of is K-Niblink, who is my 3-year-old. Or you could insert any one of your kids into this. Because a good name instills confidence. And what that means is not only does it instill confidence in other people, it instills confidence in you. When you have a good name, it means that you are living the right way. Proverbs 10:9 says this. It says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes the crooked path will be found out. What it's meaning is this, is that when we live the right way, when we do the things that we're supposed to, we don't have to worry about being called out on the carpet, right? Because how many of you guys, when you were in school, or maybe you're in school now, and you got called to the principal's office, and immediately you thought, what did I do? Right? You did not walk around with confidence, because there was something that you did that you thought, I got found out. Oh my goodness. And so the reason why I take my kid's name in this is because he's our three-year-old, and we didn't have terrible twos in our house. Man, he was a joy and an angel to be around. But we got some terrible threes. Man, that little kid has got so much like angst inside of him and just like stubbornness, and he gets it from his mom. That's who he gets that from. Yeah, right. That's how it is. And so, man, this is what's happened lately, is that he has decided that he doesn't want to clean up anything ever again. The other day we were saying, hey, boys, it's time to clean up. And he sat down on the couch and he said, my brother's going to do it. Oh, no, man. I was like, Jude, you need to sit down. Case, clean up the whole thing. And then he's not cleaning up anything. And so finally, my wife, after just like weeks and weeks of turmoil of this, she says, you know what? I'm going to throw away all your toys. And this is what this kid says. Okay. Some of you got that kid. Now you understand why I said insert your kid's name in here, right? Well, it took one time to throw away the toys, and he was like, okay, I don't like that. That's not fun. So then we said, hey, it's time for you to clean up your mess. And so he says, okay, I'll clean up my mess. He comes downstairs and says, my room's clean. And then this is what my wife says. I'm going to go check on it. No! He was not walking around in confidence. And the reality is this, is so often in times we aren't doing the same thing either. Because there's a reality that sometimes we are doing things that we shouldn't be doing. And we're scared that we're going to get found out. We're scared that our spouse is going to pick up our cell phone, and we've been having communications with people in an inappropriate way, and we don't want anybody to find out about that. We're afraid that somebody's going to log into our internet and be able to see our browser history, because we've been doing things and looking at things that we should not be looking at. And we can't walk around in insecurity because we have no confidence, because we're not doing the right things. A good name can instill confidence in yourself, and in the way that you're living. We need to be able to walk around that way. Walk around with integrity and not worry about what this world has thrown at us. A good name can instill confidence. The second thing that we look at is this, is a good name speaks for you. A good name speaks for you. And the person that we're going to look at this morning is an individual by the name of King Solomon. And King Solomon in his day, and he wrote so many of the Proverbs that we're reading today, and a lot of the Ecclesiastes, he saw what was happening in this world, and he was full of wisdom. And the reason why he was full of wisdom is because there was a point in his life where God came to him and he said, I'm going to give you anything that you want. What is it that you want? And there was a moment of clarity inside of him where he said, you know what, I want wisdom. Wisdom to guide your people. And he gave him that wisdom. And then he gave him everything else. And in 2 Chronicles 9:5, we see this, that the queen of Sheba heard about Solomon long before she even met him. And it says this. She said to the king, the report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. Is that a good name travels. A good name speaks for you. You've heard it this way. Man, that person has a reputation. And a great one. What happens when I say the word or the name Billy Graham? What do you think of? What happens when I say the name Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Man, what happens when I say the name Mother Teresa? Man, you are inspired by that name because their name speaks for them. But the reality is this, is that when they were born, those names meant nothing. Those names meant nothing to anybody else except for their parents. They didn't speak their name across this world and inspire people immediately. But what happened is that they had crossroads in their life, and they made choices that were specific, and they made wise choices. So now their name speaks for them. They were only known by their parents. They were only known by God. And that brings us to our final point. A good name is known. A good name is known. And it seems like it might be similar to a good name speaks for you. But I'm not talking about just reputation. I'm talking about actual knowledge of a person. And I'm not talking about being known by anybody else in this world. I'm talking about being known by the One. By our Lord and Savior, being known by Jesus brings us a good name. And so this morning, the person that we want to talk about is a person by the name of Barabbas. Barabbas. Barabbas? Why are we talking about Barabbas when it comes to a good name? And some of you might not even know who Barabbas is, or some of you might be sitting there thinking, you know what, I've heard the name Barabbas, but I don't really know the name Barabbas. And we might not know the name Barabbas. In fact, we only know a little bit about Barabbas. See, we see in Matthew at the very end of Jesus' life, when he was coming to that culmination of the purpose that he came to earth for, to hang on the cross for your sins and for my sins, we see the story and the moment when he is standing before Pilate. And Pilate is standing on this audacious stage with this opportunity to speak to the people. Because at this moment, there's a tradition that happens during this time, where he gets to speak to the people and he gets to have somebody released that's sitting on death row. And Pilate, in all of his pomp and circumstance, believes that he has the destiny of these two individuals in his hands, Jesus on one side and Barabbas on the other. And how could these two individuals be standing side by side? Because Barabbas, what we know about him is that he was a murderer. He was a rebel. He was rebelling against Rome. And he deserved to be standing here. He deserved to be on death row. He deserved everything that he was going to get because of the actions that he had. And Jesus is over here. And what has he done? What has he done except for heal, redeem, restore, open the blind eyes and open the deaf ears, raise the dead to life? What has Jesus done? And Pilate begins to speak to the people. And he says, "Who do you want?" And they say, "Give us Barabbas." And the Roman soldiers, they walk over the key and they unlock his chains. And Barabbas walks free. He deserved everything that he had. And we see no account of Barabbas turning and looking back at Jesus and saying, "Thank you for the freedom and the gift that you gave me." We see no record of him acknowledging what happened there. And Jesus still stands there silently, because he knows. At that moment, he knows. He knows that God needs to treat him like Barabbas so that he can treat Barabbas like Jesus. See, it didn't matter who knew Barabbas. It doesn't matter what we know Barabbas. What matters is that Jesus knew Barabbas. A good name is known, and Jesus loves Barabbas. And God loves Barabbas. Even though he deserved to die, he loves him. And when we look at this story, and we wonder why, is this even in here? Why do we talk about Barabbas? The reality is this, is because I know that I'm Barabbas. I know that you're Barabbas. We are Barabbas. And how many times have we been standing on this stage with Jesus on the other side, and he has said, "I love you, son. It doesn't matter what you've done." And we sit there and say, "No, we don't want your freedom. I deserve this. I deserve all of my guilt. I deserve all of my shame. I deserve everything that's happening to me because of the sin, because of everything that I've done." And we try to push it away. But Jesus says, "No, I love you. I love you. God, how could you do this? How could you give up your life for Barabbas? Because I love him. But you knew that he wasn't even going to not. I love him. I want to give him freedom. want to give him life. And he's sitting there saying the same thing to you and to me. But the audacity of us as believers, as non-believers, to feel that we can find freedom on our own. Because the same blood that was shed that brings us freedom of salvation is the same blood that has the freedom to bring us from the bondage of sin. And too often we get into those bonds and we think, you know what, I can do it on my own. Because I deserve this, I can get out of this all by myself. Where do we get off saying that? And we think, you know what, I can do this, I've got the power, stop it. It is only through Jesus. It has always been Jesus. It will always be Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus that brings us freedom. It's simply Jesus. Your greatest challenge is not going to be your discipline. Your greatest challenge is not going to be your own focus. Your greatest challenge is believing in the Lord and Savior Jesus. Too many times we've fallen into this trap where we look at Jesus and the cross only on an Easter Sunday. Too many times we've fallen into the trap of thinking that we can do it on our own. Too many times we are concerned with our own power and our own might. What we need to understand is that it only matters that we are known by Jesus and that he loves you. And he loves you. Jesus loves us. While we were yet sinners, standing on the opposite side of Jesus, he died for us because he loves you. We need to understand that Jesus, don't worry, that was just the air coming on. Some of you thought it was Jesus coming right now. And somebody, you need to know that Jesus has come right now. He made this day, not just Easter, he made this Easter in this place, just for you. Jesus has come. He's knocking on your heart. Jesus has come so that you can know his love. Jesus has come and risen from the grave so that you can have life and have it to abundance. You don't have to be perfect. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. You just have to be perfected by the one who is. Some of you might be sitting in a crossroads right now. You're sitting in a crossroads and you have a decision right in front of you. Do I follow Jesus? Do I believe in the story of the crucifixion and resurrection of the dead? Do I believe that Jesus is who he said he was? Is he Lord? Or is he just a liar or a lunatic? You're sitting in a crossroads and you're trying to figure out for yourself really what is happening. And you don't completely understand it, but you realize that there's something happening in your heart. Deep inside of you, where you know Jesus has come. Jesus has come for me. has always been, and it will always be, Jesus. Say it with me, Jesus. Say it with me, Jesus. It will always be Jesus. And you're sitting at a crossroads, and the decision is before you. What are you going to do? What do you want to be known for? The choice is yours. If it's you today, and at some point in history, you've made a decision to follow Jesus and you've walked away and you've decided, I can do this on my own. And I'm pushing away what Jesus has meant to me. And I'm just going to do this thing on my own, by my own power, my own might. Today, you can make a change. And you can take that other fork in the road. Or maybe today you've been sitting here and you've never had this crossroads before you. You've heard the name Jesus. You've heard people talking about Jesus. And you thought, you know what, that's just a bunch of religious kooks over there, who really don't understand what's going on in the world. But all of a sudden, you realize that there is a love greater than you've ever known. You can't explain it, but there's something happening in your heart. And that's Jesus. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a person who wants a relationship with you. It's Jesus. You're sitting at a crossroads. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Church, I want to ask you today. I want to ask you to begin to pray. Pray with me. Everybody around here. And maybe you might not pray, but I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes. And the reason why I'm going to ask you to do this is so that there can be a moment between you and Jesus. Not a moment between the person sitting next to you and the person sitting in front of you or behind you. It's just so that you can concentrate just on you and Jesus. Or maybe you don't even want to have a moment with you and Jesus, and that's okay. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes out of respect for somebody who wants to right now. Don't do like we do so many times, where we just read a passage and we just skim over it. And our brain begins to carry off into 1,000 different directions. What are we going to have for lunch? Did I turn the stove off? What are we going to do about this and that? For this moment, I want to ask you to be intentional about looking at your life. I want you to be intentional about thinking about Jesus. The reality is this, is that he died on a cross for you and for me. And history tells us, it's undeniable, undisputable, that Jesus existed in this world. And you're at a crossroads right now to decide who this historical figure really was. Was he just a good man? Or was he truly the Lord and Savior that he claimed to be, the Son of God who came down because he loved you so much? I would argue with you. I would plead with you. I would beg of you to realize the truth that he is the Son of God, and he is alive and moving and wanting desperately to have a relationship with you. And you're at a crossroads. What are you going to do? I want to give you the opportunity to make that decision. To make the choice in your heart in your life, how is your life going to go? What is your name going to speak to people? If it's you today and you're sitting at that crossroads and you know it is, I don't know your heart. I don't know what's inside of there right now. Only you do. You and Jesus know what's going on inside of your heart. And you feel that crossroads and you feel that tension going on inside of you. And you're wanting to make that decision to say, yes, I'm in the crossroads right now. And I want to choose yes. I want to choose Jesus. Man, if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Make that decision right now. Don't waste a moment. I'm not counting to three or anything like that. I just want you to raise your hand just right now. You're at that crossroads and you know it. You raise your hand, man. When you put it up, I can see that. You can put it right back down. There, I see you right over there. You're at that crossroads right now. The choice is yours to make. Jesus desperately wants to know you. What are you going to do? Just another moment. You want to say yes to Jesus. Now is your time. And I'm going to pray real quick. I'm going to pray, man, for that individual that raised their hand. And I want you to know that, man, Jesus loves you so much. And he created this day specifically for you. Everything that has happened today is for you. But I also want to pray. I want to pray for our church. Each of you. This doesn't go to anybody outside or anything like that. Every single person sitting in this room to understand this truth. You do not have to be perfect. You just need to know and be known by the one who is. Church, pray with me. God, I just thank you so much. I am so thankful for what you're doing in our lives and in our hearts. And God, I thank you so much for that individual who said yes to you. God, I know that heaven is rejoicing and we're rejoicing along with him, Lord Jesus. And I pray right now that he will know you even more in a tangible way than he ever has before, Lord God. I pray as a church that we will be able to come alongside of him and be able to help him through this decision and the crossroads that he made, because we know as soon as we go in a different direction that we don't necessarily know where we're going and we need help. And God, I pray as a church we can come alongside of him and help him. And God, I pray specifically for every single person in this room, Lord God, that you will help us understand that it is not by our might, not by our power, but only by your name that everything is done inside of our life. We can't do it on our own, Lord God. And I pray that you will help us understand what the gospel really is and how much you truly love us, how much you want to know us, how much we want to know you. Jesus, we thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives and what you're doing in my life. Help us to have a better name. We pray these things in your powerful and your mighty name. Amen. Amen.